Well, there is a new unstoppable movement that's fixing almost everything wrong with America's healthcare. It's called direct care, and by sidestepping entrenched extractive middles, employers and consumers alike can eliminate all the built-in confusion, gaming, all the tyranny. Because direct care pays for itself, so the members and white coats are doubling every 3 years. Welcome to the new healthcare economy, where everyone wins.
Redirect Health. I chose Redirect Health as our sponsor for a few reasons. I'm a happy client 5 years now, and our most downloaded shows by far are Redirect Health shows. No one has a health plan for small employers more focused on reducing healthcare costs than Redirect Health. They have over 3,000 Google 5-star ratings and growing daily, and they average 4.6 stars overall. So stay tuned for your free report at the end of this show. Business Owner's Guide to Slashing Healthcare Premiums. get.redirecthealth.com/Ron.
And now to the show.
So do we really have a shortage of physicians? Well, that's an opinion, not data, in the primary care space, primarily among primary care, because if every PCP had a panel of 1,000 members, or patients, as they call them in traditional healthcare. Now, remember, 2,500 is pretty typical for a PCP, but if every one of these folks out there had 1,000, we can solve the problem. Virtual care seems to be the answer, and it can eliminate, apparently, according to one of our guests, 90% of all visits. It solves the problem, even in rural and blighted urban areas where their so-called shortages are super stark. So I give you the exhibit A of Babylon Healthcare. They've been on the show twice, and yes, they've had their financial issues, but they have done this with 97% satisfaction scores. Well, that's kind of perfect. I mean, if you had 97s in all your classes, you'd be at the top of your class. But it's the leading provider of primary care in the UK, so this isn't a slouchy outfit. And yes, it did, again, it stumbled, but the efficiency hypothesis that algorithms can triage common digital first contacts is proven with these guys. Lower levels can handle a lot with superb toolbox of Q&A if the digital can't handle it alone, or the bot, and it escalates to a white coat only when it's necessary. And consumers get to pick, do you want the next available or do you want your provider? Well, their ratio is 16,000 to 1. And I'm just talking about 1,000 to 1. So I'm not proposing Babylon should be the national healthcare system for all primary care, but I'm saying 1,000 can be done. Medici has also been a guest on our show twice. They're the largest virtual primary care that we've had, with over 13,000 members, and Medici has 1,600 members for every one white coat. So this efficiency problem is, again, a data, not a theory. In fact, ask any OB-GYN, if you just want to confirm this, for mommy well visits, as an example, how many in-person are essential? They tell me maybe 1 in 14 are essential in-person. The rest can be done over the phone or by a Zoom. So telehealth or digital first just went crazy during COVID, during the lockdowns. And since 2019, it's settled back down again, but it's still double what it was pre-pandemic. And it would be higher if all these state houses didn't have over 100 bills proposed to muck up the waters for how they should handle telehealth in their state. So I'm just going to again quote Paul Thomas, who got me onto this, kind of snooping into this. And Paul Thomas, who was a guest, said, we don't have a shortage, we have an efficiency problem. Well, today I introduced to you a guest, Nathan Houghton. Nathan is the manager of DPC Solutions with One Medical. One Medical is the same company that was purchased by Amazon for almost $4 billion just this past March. They also purchased Iora Health, which is a state-of-the-art after 65 senior value-based care company. One Medical also was funded by Apple and used Apple as their primary client when they launched and went public a few years ago. So that's One Medical in a nutshell. So Nathan, welcome to the show. We're also going to be talking about Peak Med, which you're involved with as well for business development. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's an honor to be on this podcast.
Well, we're glad to have One Medical and you on it. Tell us, do you have any questions before we get going?
No, I'm ready.
Okay, super. All right. Well, the last quarterly I read on One Medical, and I want to talk about y'all's claims too, it said that there were almost 815,000 members. Is that about right?
Yeah, we're approaching a million. Yeah, it's getting close.
Oh, approaching a million. Good. Okay. Yeah. That's exciting. And of those million, how many of those are DPC versus value-based or other kinds of members?
The vast majority would be through the One Medical core product, which is what they're founded on.
Okay.
When they acquired PeakMed about a year and a half ago from Dr. Mark Tomasulo here in Colorado, we brought on about 350 pure DPC employer groups on. And since the last year and a half, we've been spearheading the pure DPC arm of One Medical. So really, I think conceptually, it makes sense to segment One Medical in three different lines of business. You've got One Medical Senior, which is Iora, which was really spearheaded by Dr. Rashika. And then there's One Medical Core, which is not DPC. But they tweaked the traditional system of how do we back into the economics of shrinking our patient panel to allow for same day, next day. And their model is you pay a $12 or $13 per employee per month subscription. And then after that's fee for service insurance reimbursement. So it was an easy value proposition for large employers, especially in the fully insured space. And it set One Medical up, not even knowing what they're doing, but it set them up clinically to potentially practice DPC if they can understand the DPC model, the payment model, and also how you slightly practice medicine a little bit different and your demographics are different, such as moving downstream into the self-funded, more unbundled space. Prior to acquiring PeakMed, they actually acquired Pareto Clinics, the captive. They acquired their clinics, which are DPC. So that was their first entry point into DPC was really with Dr. Rashika, almost 3 years ago. He's an OG in the DPC space with Iora. And then they acquired some clinics from Pareto Captive to understand the employer space for pure DPC. But they really didn't have like a subject matter expert or the foundation to spearhead DPC in a scalable way until they acquired PeakMed, which is now being spearheaded by Dr. Mark Tomasulo. And we're getting much more sophisticated in that. So that's just kind of the overarching where One Medical is today.
Okay. Well, that's all very exciting. And it's got to be complex to take a lot of different value offerings across three different platforms and turn them into a single value offering at one price. I guess that's going to take time to iron all that out, right?
Yes, that is the long-term goal, is every One Medical clinic and Iora clinic, theoretically, and PeakMed clinic, ideally will be able to service every type of member in that clinic, whether they're One Medical Senior, One Medical Core, or One Medical DPC. That is the end goal. Because clinically, it's essentially the same. It's just how you flag them behind the scenes and process payment.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about some of the claims that are made on various locations about, I guess we're talking about PeakMed at this point. So let's talk about claims for urgent care and ER drop 40 to 60% when employers come on board. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Okay.
Unnecessary or avoidable ER visits.
Which is where all the complexity is, which is where all the cost is, which is where all the surprise bills are, which is, just the less downstream we can do by pushing it all upstream to primary care, the wiser is the spend for an employer. Always.
Always, yeah.
I love that one. Okay, costs drop 20%.
Yeah, it's pretty common. Total plan spend or total cost of care reduction after year one could be up to 20%. It's easy to do because, if you're going from a fully insured BUCA or to a level funded BUCA, self-funded, you really have no steerage mechanisms or real price controls on services. So once you offer direct primary care, you can essentially take the volatility or the frequency of claims out because you're now having, 60 to 70% of a member's healthcare needs in a non-claims-based model, which is DPC. So it's very achievable to get a 20% total plan spend reduction.
Which I've said in every post I've had on LinkedIn for 5 years, 20 to 60%.
People are starting to pay attention, Ron.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's you can scream from the mountaintops, but if nobody's in the valley, you know, the good news is that we have a good listenership here, and it's the right listenership. It's exactly who we want. But let's talk about the cost down 20%. So let's play with some numbers. Just and numbers are hard on a show like this, but I'll keep it super simple. So the average single cost to a corporation for a single is $7,000, $8,000, and the average is $15,000 for a family. Let's just play with the number 10 because it's an easy number. If you can reduce cost from $10,000 down $2,000 less, which is $150 a month, I'm going to assume your cost to that employer is not $150 a month. It's less, right?
Yeah, it's usually right around $70. It's pretty average for an employer.
So that's a 2-to-1 ROI. I mean, y'all claim 2.4-to-1, but that's 2-to-1 ROI right out of the box.
Yeah, and we're conservative when we show proposals. So we show proposals to consultants all the time. Because if you understand the model, that's great. But, you know, in order for you to introduce this model to an employer group, you have to make sure, you know, it's viable for them, meaning there's DPC clinical coverage. And they're not going to be priced out of the market, such as like $150 PMPM. So $70 is pretty average, I would say, for a price point.
All right. And you can step it up by having mental health added in there. You can add some other, what other add-ons can we put on to the automobile?
Yep. So there's a, you know, there's this pure DPC offering. There's adding on behavioral health, which PeakMed can only do in the state of Colorado, but One Medical has a behavioral health product as well. I think it's called Mindset. Mm-hmm. And then you have the ability to add on labs or RX and ancillary services. So that's probably the biggest value add for self-funded employers is trying to eliminate all the barriers of cost and access for their employees and their members and steer them, incentivize them to go to the lowest cost option, which is always direct primary care, whether it be for office visits, for ER urgent care avoidance, for RX. Compliance goes through the roof when you can have a physician dispense in the office. I mean, it goes a long way when you have your MD, DO, PA, hand a member their metformin or whatever prescription it is and explain to them how to take it and why you're taking it versus having to give them a script and then tell them to go wait an hour at CVS or Walgreens to fill it and then pay a copay and all that.
Yeah, Texas is a problem that way. The Buccaneers in Colorado have a new, y'all have a new frontier when it comes to pharmacy. I wish we had that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the ROI again, because I want to stick with this subject. Sure. Something blows my mind about ROI. And that is, so there was an Oregon study that said that if you use primary care in your employer at workspace, you're a 13-to-1 ROI. You're going to pay back 13 times when you throw in soft costs. Soft costs would be workers' comp declines. It would be your retention increases. Your presenteeism goes away. Your absenteeism shrinks. It's a wide number of factors, but soft costs are all the benefits to the crew when people are healthier and happier and have easier access with a doc in their pocket. Okay. So that is a 13-to-1 ROI, and that's the Oregon study. California did a much larger study with 800,000 members, and they did this for PBG&H, which is the largest purchasing alliance. Yeah. They got $325 billion spend in healthcare, including Walmart. So those guys, it was a 10-to-1. Okay. So take the conservative one, 10-to-1. You've got a 2.41-to-1 on hard costs. So we're talking about an EBITDA contributor. It drops to the bottom line. Let's call it $5 for every buck invested.
Yeah.
Why would people not say yes to that?
I think they're so burnt and burnt out really with healthcare and then having consultants, you know, switch them from Coke to Pepsi, which is just going from one buka to another. You know, one shiny object to another. I just think that it's they don't believe it. And that's probably the biggest, you know, objection from an employer, even a member, is like, that just sounds too good to be true. Like, what's the catch?
Yeah.
But it, you know, once you implement this with enough groups, especially in a given community, the water cooler talk happens, and you get referrals from other HR folks, and you can have employers now directing large brokerages to embed PeakMed or direct primary care. So I'm seeing a lot of employers lead their brokers down this path, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, Nathan, I have an offer for you that I've offered everybody else on the show is you can bring any client you want on this show, bring their CEO on, and let's talk about what their experience is 1 year, 2 years, 3 years later. Because case studies is what excites employers.
We've got a lot. I mean, we've had employers that have stayed with us since we've opened in 2014. So, and they're big champions. So I think that wouldn't be a problem at all.
Yeah. I mean, the more of those, the merrier. Our most downloaded show is almost 100,000 downloads. It is a story that dives deep into the woods of workers' comp savings. The swing was 100 EMOD points, which basically halved his workers' comp. His sick days or days healthy working in a highly accident-prone profession, which is drywall, mm-hmm. were record for three generations of a company since he started doing DPC. He added all kinds of benefits, but it's the number one downloaded show. So case studies, we've had seven of them on this show, and people freaking love them. And that's what you study at Harvard MBA school. You study a case study.
Right.
So the more of your clients and others' clients that can get on the show and talk, and then you can send that out to people that are in the margins on the fence.
Yeah.
I think that's the answer to the problem, or an answer to the problem.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I'll talk to the account management team and see if, and I already have a few in mind, see if they'd be willing to do that. And we have tons of case studies, so it'd be,
yeah,
you know, something we could do.
And I'll ask them hard questions. I'm not going to be, you know, I love this model, so I'm not, I mean, I am a fan, but I will ask hard questions. Okay, let's go down the list a little bit further here. Utilization, 60%. That's another mind blower for me is, again, why someone won't buy a 2-to-1 or a 5-to-1 ROI is like they can't get that in their IRA, a 500% return. But why would utilization only be 40, 50, 60% at some place like Apple when it's crystal clear that this is free versus the other model isn't free? There's deductibles and copays and premium.
Yeah, and this is what I tell employers and consultants all the time is even on your health plan, you're never going to get to 100% utilization. Like you'll have 80, 85% utilization most of the time. And a good portion of that is just somebody had an urgent care visit or their annual physical. So I said, you'll never get to 100%. And demographics have a huge part to play. Industry, our goal, and just through our 350 employer groups that we have that are pure DPC, 60% in year one is a pretty good benchmark that we can reach. And that's usually when we start to see our 2-to-1 type of an ROI. So that's kind of what we budget for or plan for and set expectations for. But we have groups that are 80%. So a lot of like, you know, let's say like the Apple type demographics, you'll get closer to 80%. But to the, you know, those that are in the field, younger male demographics, blue collar, you know, 40% is pretty common, 40, 50%. But where we try to explain to them is one of the reasons that the price points are so low for employers in the direct primary care space versus individuals is because we get to bill the entire population. And it really is the non-utilizers or low utilizers that help offset the costs for the high utilizers. And it's the high utilizers where the ROI is driven.
Let's talk about that. So 6% of employees are going to generate 60 to 80% of the cost for a typical employer, not tech because it's younger, but the rest of your consumers that are members are going to be a tiny cohort. It's going to have an outlandish cost. Now that they're seeing a primary care doctor, now that they're getting mental health, do those numbers drive down too? Have y'all tracked that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Especially the chronic population. Instead of having to go see their endocrinologist every month, they're able to just, you know, utilize their direct primary care provider. So you see a lot of, you know, just unnecessary claims get driven down and chronic disease is managed much more efficiently. So we've done population health studies on that. And what, you know, what I tell employers and consultants all the time is the reason you want to offer this benefit at no cost to 100% of the population that are medically enrolled is because one, you're trying to incentivize adoption. You know, I, as an example, opted into an employer health plan back in like 2017 after I got out of the military. And I thought it was a joke. You know, you're paying over $1,000 for a family in premium, and then you don't use the dang thing. And then when you use it, everything's out of pocket because it's high deductible. And what you're paying for has no relevance or relation to unit cost. And I'm a cost accountant by trade. So it's just an absolute joke. I'm like, what benefit is meaningful in this employer health plan as a healthy individual and a healthy family? Those are the individuals that you really want to help lower plan costs by having them adopt the plan. So offering a really concierge help type health plan that allows you to get preventive and proactive in health, and have it there for, let's say, children when you need it, which I've used so many times for my kids. I got stories for days on that. That is something that's meaningful. That is, you know, $70. That's $70 that you're paying for is the only, you know, dollars within your $1,000 plus premium you're paying that has any steering mechanism or ROI potential. And it's the only thing that is truly that is going to drive employee, you know, recruitment, retention, and adoption of the plan. And then, of course, the chronic population, like you're trying to steer them constantly to the lowest cost, highest quality touch points, which is always primary care. And when you steer them to the direct primary care model, where they're incentivized to focus on long-term preventive medicine, you get a much more meaningful benefit for that population, and you manage their medical risk in a way different way than a traditional fee-for-service PCP would, or using the specialist as the PCP because they don't have access to a, you know, a hospital-owned PCP that has 3,000 patients on the panel. So it's going to be a much different benefit for both populations.
So the lead of that story you just said is that you recommend they offer free healthcare. And I know when I did that myself in my company, the quality of candidates is measurable. We used to have 40, 50 interviews to find four good candidates in a day. And at the fifth candidate, they called the day off. The rest of them sent them home because they found their A-plus candidates, because everybody wants free healthcare. Everybody. Yes. And a lot of these MAs that we were hiring were single moms that were trapped in this Medicaid sick loop. So
right,
they were delighted to have free healthcare. All right. So quick numbers, medical bankruptcy, 2-1 over every other cause. 3 in 4 Americans feel healthcare is failing them. 112 million Americans are struggling to pay for healthcare. Double that number feel that they pay what they pay for is not worth the cost. And almost 60 million can't afford their meds. So this all plays into the larger picture of when you offer free healthcare and low cost meds. And let's talk about the meds. So you have a formulary. What does that end up costing the employer less than it was before when you look at that side by side?
Yeah, we do. We actually do that analysis for both labs and RX. Okay. It's usually 80 to 90%.
Wow. Okay. So they can't say no to that. That's low hanging fruit.
Yeah. And this is what I tell employers all the time is the model that we utilize, direct primary care, all of our margins are within the recurring revenue subscription. We have no incentive to price gouge on the transaction level. So we're going to buy both the RX and the labs at unit cost, wholesale cost, and then charge just a healthy margin to cover costs and, you know, slight revenue stream. But it's always going to be the lowest cost for the employer and the employee. And we can confidently say that the majority of the RX and labs will be less than the employee's copay if they went through the traditional route of insurance. So I'll say lisinopril we buy for like 75 cents for a 90-day supply. The doctor is going to hand that member the 90-day lisinopril, and the member is either going to pay $1.50 or $1.75 at point of service, or the employer is just going to pay that almost like a claim at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Like they pay their memberships. Mm-hmm. And we encourage the consultants to have the employer pay that like they pay their memberships, because it's always the lowest cost for the employee and the employer. Therefore, remove that barrier of cost to that member and take on that cost as the employer, because it's going to save them money in the long run.
Okay, let's talk about a couple of metrics and then I'll honor your time and close this out. How are your physicians and white coats, other white coats, renewing their contracts with y'all? Are they sticking around after a year?
Oh yeah, we have really high retention with our providers. It's a different way of practicing medicine. And I would have to say, even with One Medical acquiring Peak Med, we have even greater access and interest from providers locally in Colorado. And one of the things that's really driving that, so what's unique about direct primary care, which I love the model because it's independent DPC physicians, independent physicians kind of reclaiming healthcare. I love it. But one of the things that's difficult for some of the providers as they scale is they are the single point of contact in many cases for working hours and after hours. They don't have that team to high-five them in and out and then debrief when they come back in the morning. They don't have that. With One Medical, they have a virtual medical team, which is a dedicated One Medical PCP providers that are locally based within wherever the clinic is. And they're specifically designed so that when the 8 to 5 or the 7 to 5 PCP signs out from working hours, the after hours provider now takes over for any of those acute needs after hours. And they're all in the same EMR and they all see the same thing. And then they communicate when they get relieved. So it's a huge thing for providers. They're like, you no longer have to answer a midnight or 1 or 2 a.m. call.
And you're not charting or coding at night either.
And you're not charting and coding.
So you're yeah. renewing at a high rate, you say. You're not going to give me the number. Let's talk.
I don't have it. That's clinical. Oh. I'm sales. I have no idea.
Okay. Let's talk about NPS scores for the employees, the members that are in the almost a million members. How are your NPS scores looking right now?
I believe it's 97 or above.
Okay. Very impressive.
Really high, really high. Yeah, we do member surveys for every employer group. So every time a member has an interaction, we send out surveys and we report on that internally as a team. And then we report it to every employer group. So they see what their members are saying about us.
Again, the next question is going to be kind of a skewed answer because Apple's such a big part of your customer base, but what is your renewal rate with customers, employers?
Yeah. Oh yeah. The retention for that is well over 95%. And usually the only reason that we have attrition is due to financial hardship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually in the smaller employer space, kind of sub 50. Occasionally we'll have some of those sub 50 employer groups that are growing and then they'll drop us because they brought on a broker and the broker knows nothing about DPC and it's not in their tool stack. So they say, you can't have that anymore. You need ACA compliant major medical. And at that point, that's when we have to re-step in and say, this is how we're paired with major medical health plans. And by all means, you can keep us and you should, because it's going to benefit you in the long run. So that's really the only fall off points in retention from employers.
My last question before I close this out is, what in the world is in the water system in Colorado? You've got NextEra, you've got Paladina, which became Everside. You've got, of course, PeakMed. You've got a lot vibrant DPC, completely rebuilding the healthcare system from the ground up in that state. What in the heck is going on in Colorado?
Yeah, Colorado and Kansas are two really big markets for DPC. And I mean, even the state of Colorado, all their employees have DPC as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Flanagan at NextEra, he's been, although we're technically competitors, but we're really partners. So he has a footprint in the Northern Colorado area that we don't have. And we have a footprint in the Southern Colorado that he doesn't have. So we're affiliates of one another, meaning we'll have employer contracts with an employer, but we'll send members to NextEra clinics that we can't service and vice versa. And we actually have this network in almost 40 states. We have over 200 independent DPC clinics that are contracted with us and are seeing almost 3,000 members. So we send members to independent practices all over the country all the time. What I tell independent DPC docs all the time is, you guys are the foundation or the stepping stone to bringing meaningful change to healthcare, putting insurance in its day and place. But you guys have unbundled yourself so much and become independent so much that you're not even useful for employers. So we have to band together and create an organic network. And I'm using quotes. You use the word network because that's what an employer and consultant can conceptualize. But it's just a passive pipeline for you as an independent practice to receive new members with no marketing costs, no sales costs, no overhead, and you get paid your PMPM. And all the burden that is required to work with an employer, because it's very burdensome. We have an entire department for member services and account management just to work with employers. You don't have to deal with that. So you independent DPC practices need to work together, not view each other as competitors. Like, how can we help each other grow? Like, if you have an employer group in your backyard and they say, I love your model, and you can see maybe 30% of my employee base, that's awesome. But the other 70%, I have to offer them the same benefit. I can't have a disparity in benefit offerings. How do you solve for that? That's when you, as an independent physician, need to say, I have a network of DPC. And that network is really just independent practices working together to create what looks like a one solution, which is direct primary care, which is what we do at PeakMed. We actually work with TPAs specifically, where we actually don't clinically see any members. We just help administrate the plan to make DPC scalable and manageable for the TPA and the consultant, and navigating the member and the employer through this benefit. So we have clients that are 3,000 plus employees in 30 different states that have 100 clinics in their network. And we're the single point of contact for that. And there's a single invoice going to the TPA. And we're managing all that behind the scenes. So we have TPAs sending us business because they love what we do for them. We allow them to scale direct primary care for their consultant partners. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a value prop that PeakMed really has that One Medical is learning from, honestly.
Yes. All right. Well, by my count, just from guests on the show, and I'm just talking about the top five DPC firms, we're 25 million members. If you throw in all the rest that have been on the show, we've had 24 on the show, we're looking at probably closer to 31 million members. So that's 9-10% of the overall market in America. That's not a bad number to be proud of.
Yeah.
If you throw in the, and nobody's counting this, there's no academic studies, there's no research on this, no articles in the press talking about this. If you do the math behind that, there's got to be 20,000 white coats. You know, you're talking about tens of thousands of providers that had to join to support that 25, 30 million. And if you look at the number of surgery centers that are independent, you're over 640, 60 are bundled, price are transparent. If you look at the independent imaging, we're between 2,000 and 2,500. If you look at the physicians that take cash and that are specialists, that's 100% of them virtually. And I mean, there's only, I think only in Texas, MD Anderson won't take cash, but everybody else is going to take cash and all day long.
Cash is king. Yeah.
Cash is king always. And then if you look at the number of labs, again, they take cash too. So whatever vertical you're looking at, if you're an employer, and pharmacy, as you said, is pennies a pill. And your case was less than a penny a pill for the 90-day pill for lisinopril. But
right.
What we're talking about is an ecosystem that is 20 to 60% lower in cost. And if you've been playing in the buccal world for your whole life, welcome. The waters are warm. They're not shark infested. They're very tested and true. And we're going to have some case studies from One Medical to prove it, just as we've had with other guests on this show. So
yes.
How do people reach out to you, Nathan, if they want to buy your product tomorrow?
Yeah, you can reach out to me at, you know, via phone, 719-653-9333. You can text or call or email me, nhouten@peakmed.com. If you're a consultant and if you have a prospect or a client and you just want to see what a direct primary care solution would look like for that group specifically, feel free to send me a census file. I'll send you a proposal that you can present in your submittal for an RFP. Or you can present to your client and hopefully scale this thing called direct primary care together.
Love it. And if you had to fly a banner over America with one simple message, what would that say?
Oh, man, that's intense. Okay. What?
Well, Mark Twain is famous for saying, I would have written you a short letter, but I didn't have time.
Yeah, well, my Dr. Mark's slogan is probably inappropriate. He has on the back of his shirts, but I love it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but it's F-U-C-K healthcare. That's his slogan. And yeah, that's what motivates him to keep doing what he's doing with direct primary care and freeing up the physicians to take back, you know, the doctor-patient relationship. And it's really what it's all about.
Yeah, my favorite artist is a guy named Bob Schneider, who sings here in Texas. Everybody knows him. His slogan is F all you mother uppers.
Yes. I like it.
All right, guy. Well, it's nice to talk to you. I can't wait to get back on the line with you again to do another show with a happy customer. Those testimonials are incredibly powerful. It's the only thing people believe today. They don't believe claims, but they definitely believe customers that talk about their experience. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ron. Take care. Okay.
Bye-bye. I have been a happy customer of Redirect Health since before I started the show, guys, and I know firsthand the integrity and laser focus on us of the members of its two founders, Dave Berg and Dr. Janice Johnson. What do I get from me and my team? Well, I have 24/7 access to my healthcare team for any reason, and they have all my medical records right at their fingertips at all times. So no more filling out those stupid forms in clinics. And if I need a refill, if I got a rash, I've hurt my back, if I need an annual physical, Redirect Health takes it from there. I just tell them on my app what I need. We get free primary care visits and chiropractic and labs and patient assistance with meds, which means you can get free meds for a lot of your employees, probably most of them actually, and hospitalization with a $2,000 deductible. All of that is in my plan for about half what I used to pay in a traditional high deductible plan. But I have zero deductibles, zero copays except for that $2,000. So I go to get my care with my own doctor, or they'll find one for me. You keep your doctor with this plan, and I pay nothing there at the clinic after. It's super clean. What a friction-free plan should look like, right? And it's much less chance of any surprise bills, and Redirect totally handles all the hassles when my doctor's billing department in the hospital messes up, and they mess up 80% of the time. Well, I'm treated like a person, not a number at Redirect. So I'll say it on this show a million times and on my LinkedIn post dozens of times, I use Redirect Health. If you want to get the business owner's guide to slashing healthcare premiums, go to get.redirecthealth.com/Ron. get.redirecthealth.com/Ron.
Thanks for listening. You can advance our movement by subscribing, and kindly take a minute and leave a review. Each is a win for this show. Until next episode.